so much. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today on the show is the other host of the show. Amber Kenny is here.
Hello.
So we always start the show with a thing we call viewer mail. So I thought I would read some. It's not actually mail. It's more comments people leave on YouTube.
It's correspondence.
Yeah, it's a way of communicating. Mm-hmm. It's what gives us a back and forth with the people who listen to the show. So I just thought we could, you know, shout some of these people out and see if there was anything interesting. The first comment I wanted to read, it just said it's from Protege 5, which is our friend Phil up in Canada. And he says, W. Bush should also be in jail. Lock them up. I assume that's a reference to the Trump indictment that we spoke of several weeks ago, which now has actually happened. He has been indicted. Weaponization of the federal of the justice of the legal system continues. So I don't know. Do you think W. Bush should also be in jail in addition to Trump? I'm assuming that he means Trump should be in jail. W. Bush should also be.
Yeah. I mean, real talk, probably they all have committed crime. Like,
is that just the nature of the presidency of the United States, is that you have to commit crimes to be only elect supervillains?
I mean, yes and no. I would say I think Trumps are on a different level. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's sort of dissolving in front of me. I guess his are more overt.
Right. Right. And his have more to do with
money, 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 money.
Right. Personal things. Like,
right.
W. Bush could arguably be in jail, as could many of these leaders, for war crimes.
Right.
Or committing atrocities against other human beings. But it seems like sometimes that is the nature of government, and there are different perspectives on that. Like, you can look at it as an absolute. If you do this, that's absolute, you should go to jail. But you can also look at it from the perspective of, like, this is what we need to do for defense of the country. This is what we need to do for the, you know, democratization of the world, like,
and
there's a million,
the relationship building with our allies, right. It gets very complicated.
So the fact that they lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq in order to invade and get rid of Saddam Hussein,
and that worked out, that feels quaint now.
That worked out great, right? Everything was hunky-dory after that in Iraq. So anyway, I don't know. I feel like everybody should be in jail, basically.
Yeah, every single one of us.
We should all go to jail for something. For something. Here's one from Joe Fox. Says, it's nice to... This was after the last episode where we talked about clay, math, and blocks. And he said, it's nice to hear people talk about the realities of childhood. I get frustrated hearing people talk about being younger as if it was a constant high. We still felt bad, except it was for stupid reasons. Too much math, not enough blocks.
100%.
You agree with that?
Yeah.
It wasn't a constant high.
No.
Right.
It's like everything is scary and you don't fully understand the world. And all of the things that exist in adulthood, like, you know, exist as a kid, or at least I did. Like, it's not like a fully carefree world.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I feel like I could be wrong about this, because who knows, it was so long ago, but I feel like for me, that time of like elementary school was pretty
good,
carefree. Yeah. It was like I don't remember
I was an anxiety filled.
Yeah.
Like it was not pleasant. Nothing was.
Right. I don't think that really happened to me until I got to junior high school.
Mm.
Then
it just doubled for me.
Right.
It just got even worse.
Right. Because, like, I just would go to school, which was half a block from my house.
Wow.
And get home from school and go out in the neighborhood I lived in. There was, like, probably, I don't know, 15 or 20 boys my age in my neighborhood. And so we would play kickball or basketball or baseball or, you know, some game for 3 hours. And then I would come home and have dinner, and then I would be doing my homework, and that was it. You know,
that sounds great. It does sound great.
That was the whole kit and caboodle. There was a lake at the bottom of the hill that was a bottomless lake with a whirlpool in the middle that supposedly somebody's grandfather had drowned in.
Are these like myths and fables?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know what a myth or a fable is, but they all are based in truth, right? They all come from somewhere. You know, it's like the Bible. Like, it comes from somewhere. There's something going on there. But we were not allowed. I was not allowed to go to the lake. In other words, I was prohibited from spending any time at this lake.
So that made it probably so appealing.
Well, again, we've talked about this before. I was the oldest child. I was a rule follower. Mm-hmm. So I was told not to go to the lake. I didn't go to the lake. I didn't spend any time there. I didn't go down there. I'm sure all of my younger brothers would go there from the time they were 7 or 8 years old and like dive in or what. I don't know, but buy drugs or whatever happened down at the lake. But that was like a lurking danger in the distance, but not something I had to deal with on a regular basis because I wasn't allowed to go down.
Right. I think that I've told this story on the podcast before, but I'm going to tell it again because who cares? Yeah, but when I was like 2 or 3, I fell on a coffee table and my lip split in two. I'm positive I've told at least this part.
You're talking about the coffee table lip splitting story?
Yes, the famous one. But I'm only bringing it up because they sewed my lip back on while I was conscious.
And they sewed it on. So your lip came off.
It was like,
it was disassociated from your body.
It was like deeply cut and it was like hanging from my face, I guess. And so I was conscious while they were sewing my lip on. And the doctor said, like, you know, don't cry. And so I didn't. And then afterwards, he said, I can't believe you didn't cry. And I felt like such a deep betrayal. I didn't know that I was allowed to cry. I like what you're saying about following the rules.
You told me not to cry, so I didn't cry. I would have been crying the whole time if I was allowed.
Yeah.
But you prohibited it. Now I have all this repressed emotion that's going to come out in pathologies later in life. I'm going to be so upset by things that are not that big of a deal because I wasn't allowed to cry the one time my lip was disconnected from my body. What am I supposed to do with this, doctor? Hey, I can't believe you're talking this way. You're 2 years old. You're saying the prospects of your psychological breakdown are great at this point, but you really haven't even gotten beyond. I mean, you're barely out of diapers. So let's slow your roll a little bit.
But yeah, like just how dare you impose a rule that you didn't think that I should follow or could follow.
Right.
It felt deeply unfair.
That's how I feel about speed limits. Like, wait, you mean I could go faster than 55? How dare you? Okay, the next one is from our good friend Felipe Sobrero. And it says, A bone, A bone, let's call the whole thing off. That's a reference to Amber and I having a debate about how to pronounce the letter A as a word. Is it A bone or A bone?
I mean, it's definitely a bone. I was saying a bone for emphasis and
comedic emphasis.
Yes.
So So you weren't mispronouncing anything. You were just making a point.
Mm-hmm. I was
rhetorically cueing us that this was important.
Yes. And I think real talk was quoting Wayne's World. which is deeply, deeply, deeply embedded in my, I mean, I would quote that all day long in sixth grade. Like, that's all I did.
What do they say in Wayne's World with "ah"?
His ex-girlfriend gave him a gun rack.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, "A gun rack? A gun rack?" That would necessitate multiple guns. Never mind me not having a gun. I butchered it, but that is the idea.
It makes sense, though. As you say it, I'm like, oh, okay. This was a thing that was related to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Just as your psychological breakdowns later in life are related to the lip thing, your pronunciation of is related to Wayne's World.
The first one.
Why are you here at Wayne's World? You're 2 years old. Okay, the next one is from Dreamy Time Films, our good friend Frank out in Hawaii, who says, Muppet Babies style drawing of Sean and Amber playing with clay and blocks in a corridor with math on the walls with the words, I work with clay, blocks, math, and corridor, the long shot, a podcast.
So that's Frank's pitch. Of the ideas are just clay and blocks and math based.
Well, it also, it's like, Frank, I love you, but that sort of suffers from a recency bias, right? Like, that was just the most recent episode.
About recency bias.
Like, we could do that on every episode. Just like birds, ashtrays, potatoes, and nose hair, you know? you remember that famous episode? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you never know. We'll have to figure out if that works. You know, and then then he followed up with another comment that was also, I wish I was still making videoizations because I would have turned Sean's diary reading into one clay, blocks, and math.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun. And unfortunately, we missed out on that because he's not doing videoizations anymore. So let's take a moment and reflect on the loss of that experience.
Pour some out
for the videoization of the Play Blocks and Math episode that never happened. Okay, this one was very interesting to me, this next one. It's from somebody named Jack Erdman, and it says, whatever shirt you make, I'll buy it.
Great.
Believe it or not, I'm a new listener.
Wow.
About 3 months ago, I searched up a comedy podcast on Apple Music and listened to season 3 all the way through. You guys have always been funny and pleasant to listen to. I'm so glad that the rest of your content since the early days is on Spotify. You guys are great. Thanks for continuing to make content.
Wow,
is it content or content?
It's content.
Thanks for continuing to make content. Like, maybe he left out the word me, like.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, boy.
Here's a big old
always
but.
A but.
No. It's not a bad but. But.
Nothing better than a bad but.
He listened to all of season 3
mm-hmm.
to get here. What I mean is I still feel like we have 0 to very few listeners that are starting like last week without context.
Right.
Like, I feel like even what we do, it just needs the historical context.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of like foundational information you need to even understand an episode.
You had to have heard my lip story at least once before.
To get what's going on in that lip story.
Yes.
Like, you have to know the context of what a coffee table is.
It's not even that, oh, like people would be so lost what's going on, but just maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is like a low self-esteem thing, but I don't see somebody picking up on this episode today and becoming
You're setting low expectations for this episode. You're saying this episode specifically sucks.
This episode is awful.
If you're a new listener, if you're somebody who's listening to the podcast for the first time,
you're wrong.
Shut it off. Shut it off. No, you don't want to be a part of this.
You don't at all see what I'm saying or agree.
I don't agree, but I don't disagree. I have a neutral stance. I will say, however,
that's very typical of you.
Yes. Yeah. I don't have opinions about that.
You don't usually disagree. Yeah. You're not famous for that.
No. Well, here's the thing.
Context
though.
Right there.
Right. I guess he doesn't disagree with things. He seems like a sweet guy. Just very, very calm and goes along with
everything. Switzerland over here. Yeah.
No, I was talking to my parents earlier and I told them that I was, meeting you to do the podcast. That was, I was like, I have to go because I have to do this podcast. This was 2 hours before the podcast. It was just an excuse to get off the phone. not true.
Well, but you have to do your like vocal warm-ups and 2 hours would be exhausting.
Yeah.
It'd be so tired.
But that's why my voice is so warmed up. I mean, that's how I get here.
The resonance.
But my parents were saying, my father was like, so you're still doing the podcast? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, what would we look for it under? And I said, the long shot. We've only been doing it for 13 years. And then he was like, so I have to download an app to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, it's on your phone. I don't think so. So maybe they'll listen to this episode. And if they're listening to this episode as new listeners, turn it off.
Click. Or they could easily search Sean Conroy Gets Happier on YouTube.com.
Again, context required so you understand how angry this makes Amber that's where.
We've done like a personality switch.
I think everything's cool. Amber hates this thing. She's so mad. But yeah, I didn't know that everything was on Spotify. Like, I have no idea where this stuff is at this point. I was looking for a particular episode, the famous episode where we read that letter from Heidi that was
where she came from.
50,000 words where she came from, right? But I had no idea where it was. Luckily, the listeners, I think Frank was the one who sent me that.
Did you re-listen to it? Did you have a different experience?
I did. I mean, of course, because I'm at a different place in my life, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like if you were to fall on a coffee table and have your lip cut off now, you would cry no matter what, you know?
Because I'm not a baby.
Yeah, you wouldn't be forbidden to cry.
It was 6 years ago?
I don't remember.
Seven?
Something
Eight?
Like that, yeah.
Nine?
But it was interesting to listen to. I mean, what stood out was that, first of all, that she put so much thought and attention into it, that there was stuff that made sense in terms of perhaps what people heard on the show.
Right, with the amount of information she had.
That it was also a show, not real life.
Right.
Know? And I think we made that clear. And then it was also interesting because I think it was Andrew was our producer then, and he was saying that he was disturbed that I was listed as the antagonist of the show. And I feel like I completely agree because I get along, you know, I just like to agree with things.
I do see myself.
Well, it's hard because I want to agree with that. But if I agree with that, I'm the antagonist. But anyway, it was interesting to listen back to it. And the person that I was gonna have listen to it, I was like, don't listen to it.
Oh no.
Yeah. Okay. So the next email or the next DM, no, the next YouTube comment on Sean Conroy Gets Happier. God damn it. Why the fuck? is from our old friend Fred O'Google, although it might be a Fred O'Google, I'm not sure, from the O'Google family who who owned the...
His grandfather invented
the Google. Web search service for yeah. Google. No, O-Googling. and then somebody stole the idea and just called it Google, which was damn. So fucked up. But I thought this was really nice, is that Fred O'Google was like, new listener, welcome. Like, he just immediately reached out to Jack sweet. Erdman and was like...
That's what we should have been doing, probably.
Of course we should have. What a couple of assholes.
Thanks, Fred O'Google.
That's a thing that happens in the Facebook group sometimes, is it'll say, this person just joined the Facebook group. Do you want to welcome them or send a thing or whatever? And I never do.
You're
and
like, of course,
most of the time I'm right, because it's usually somebody from who knows where going, I'm sorry to bother you, but I think we may be friends. Perhaps we can get along. Or it's just somebody with a you know, news item about how Simon Cowell has been diagnosed with tremors in his eyelids and he's on death's door.
Sure.
Just some fake thing. But anyway, that was nice of Fred to immediately welcome Jack Erdman. Next one is from Bear of a Man 1042, who I believe is a robot.
What a name.
Yeah. And says, maybe it's pollen allergies. We've had so much rain. So referring to your
yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Do you know if you were ever allergic to pollen?
No.
Do you know Michael Pollan's book about changing your mind with drugs? That was a reference that Jamie made on the podcast where we read Heidi's letter.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all coming together. The entire 13-year show is just a big improv, Harold.
And we did it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. That's our show. And welcome new listeners. Goodbye.
It could have used some edits.
Right. Very long. The next one is from Planks Constant, who is also a longtime listener. Ray, shirts and body shape. My Lo Show Po shirt was purchased during a year when I had run a half marathon and then a full marathon.
Wow.
I haven't run more than a single digit number of miles in a week since the pandemic began. And if I were to attempt to put on that shirt now, I would resemble a sausage made by an inexpert but exceedingly generous butcher.
What an image.
Yes. I would love the chance to get a new shirt in a larger size. The shirt still serves good purpose as PJs for my daughter, since the material is very soft and the fit is, for her, quite loose and comfortable. When she had a friend over for a sleepover, I overheard the friend ask what the design meant, and my daughter replied, "I think it's a podcast for old people." So please rest assured that your branding is accurate. Oh, boy.
But mm-hmm. to a kid, like, being 27 is old. Right. So, right. like, it's all relative.
So being 70 like I am is certainly very old. No, that is funny that, you know, the way to talk about childhood again, the way you perceive people as being... Mm-hmm. so much older. I mean, I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. When I started teaching junior high school, I was like 22 and parents would come in and be like, what am I supposed to do with my 13-year-old? And I would be like,
I was 13. Very yeah. recently.
Like, well, in my head, I'd be like, why are you asking me this? I was just 13 last week and I have no idea what to tell you. But in real life, I'd be like, well, here's a couple of ideas I have.
Stay in school.
Yeah. Fake it till you make. Don't let them take drugs, because drugs are a road to more drugs. They're a gateway drug to drugs. Especially don't let them take gateway drugs, because those are gateways to gateways. I also love the idea of the inexpert but exceedingly generous butcher who's just like, I got no idea what I'm doing, but does anybody want some of this? It's great. Enjoy it. It's delicious. I don't know what it is.
He sounds cool. He sounds fun.
I did that in my Saturday Night Live audition, the inexpert but exceeding. Now the inexpert, it was just like a one-line thing. Mm-hmm. And now the inexpert but exceedingly generous butcher. look at this. What is it? A hamburger or a meatloaf? I don't know, but do you want some? Like that. That's the whole.
Have some is what the exceedingly generous butcher should say.
Could be a meatball, could be a shrimp, whatever the case, it's for you. And then the last one is from, again, I guess it is a Fredo Google. I don't know what the real first name is, but his t-shirt suggestion, my t-shirt suggestion this week, this week, I wonder if there'll be t-shirt suggestions every week from now on. All our idols have feet of clay and blocks and math.
There is a theme. Yeah.
Again, recency bias, you know. I still think the one about nose hair would be a good t-shirt, but that was a number of episodes ago. All right. Well, we always like to start the show that with a segment that we call Checking In. So why don't we start today with Amber?
Yeah. This weekend was lovely. It wasn't raining for the first time in a really long time. It was warm. And a friend of mine had a birthday, and so she said, let's meet up at the park. And it was a park that's like about a mile away from us. And I said,
you don't want to say what park because you don't want people to know exactly the mile radius of where you No, I understand.
No, they'll figure it out. And yeah, I was gonna go, obviously. And Jeff on Saturday spent the day, he went to WrestleMania, which I think is really interesting and fun, and he went by himself and it's cool, but it meant that I would be going without Jeff and without a car. And so I was like, I might as well bring...
That's mostly why you keep Jeff around, right?
Is the wheels. My car that I bought. Yes.
Hey, possession is 9/10 of the law.
Well, and I wanted to bring Smudgy, but I also was worried. We had gone for a very long walk that morning. And I was scared that going on that very long walk and then walking a mile to the park, doing whatever we do at the park, and then walking a mile back, we both might be like spent, not in a good place.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. And so I realized that the hangout was supposed to start at 2 p.m.
Was it called a hangout? Was that the official name?
I think so. Park hang, maybe. But A, it's Los Angeles. B, it's a hang. So that makes it like even more casual than it just being a Los Angeles party. It's a Los Angeles hang. And three, the birthday girl in question is notoriously
late.
But the only way I could get a ride is if Jeff took me and Smudgy on the way to WrestleMania. So I got there at like 2 o'clock on the dot. So Smudgy and I were the first ones there by...
You were just hanging.
Yeah, we were hanging. And I was so proud of this little guy because it was a beautiful day in Los Angeles after so much rain. So people were taking advantage. They weren't taking for granted the beautiful weather. So the park was hopping. There was people walking by with dogs.
Frisbee, kickball.
Yeah.
Golf in the park.
Blocks, math.
People were shooting off those little rockets that you pump water into.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, like dogs resting, dogs at play, dogs walking by. And he was actually pretty darn good. And people arrived and we had a good time. It turned out we were there like 3 hours, which is kind of insane. That's a very long time.
Well, when you say hang, it's generally implied that it just doesn't really necessarily end
at any
way
point.
Later than you thought it would. You know?
Right, right. Well, it didn't start till way later either. But he started getting a little cranky. He snapped at another dog. And so I was like, all right, let's leave on a high note. And so we walked home, and again, I was a little bit like, is this going to be a tough walk home? Am I going to be tired? Is he going to be tired? Is it? It was wonderful. Like, I had such a good walk home, and I just, Smudgy and I walk our neighborhood quite a bit, but it's usually at the break of dawn, and the neighborhood has a different vibe, and it was so vibrant and it was so alive. And,
Hey, Amber and Smudgy, how are you?
Exactly. I don't know. I just loved it, and I loved our neighborhood, and, it was wonderful. We got
You guys want some ground chicken? It's maybe a pound, pound and a half. I don't know. I'm very inexpert. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm trying to think if there's any like real specifics from this party, but it just was really nice to be outside, and it feels, I feel like I've had this as an update 1,000 times, but it does feel nice and relaxing and hopeful that Smudgy and I can just like do normal dog things ish. For a while there, it seemed like he would have to be the boy in the bubble or something,
just because of his
demeanor,
right? Like, it was too much.
Yes.
And how long have you had Smudgy for?
In a couple weeks it'll be 2 years.
Wow,
crazy. Also, in our neighborhood, like a block away, there's a house that got a little tiny baby puppy.
Now I know where you live.
Yeah. Sorry. God damn it. And it is the cutest thing because Smudgy loves the baby and we obviously love the baby. So like if we can't get Smudgy to walk, we'll be like, want to go see the baby? And he's like, oh yeah, I want to see the baby. And it's really cute.
All right. I'll go see the baby.
And if the baby's like inside for some reason, he just like waits at the gate. I'm like, he's not out, buddy. And he's like, maybe he will come out. Like, what if I wait? It's very cute.
So he's becoming more and more of a person.
Yeah. He has his tics, but don't we all?
I agree. I totally agree. We all do. That's how I am. I'm amenable to everything.
I'm going to get you to disagree with something today.
So that's the checking in, is Smudgy's doing well.
Yeah. And it's
good because the last time I saw Smudgy, I was afraid of him.
Was it at a pool party?
Oh, was that the last time I saw him?
I don't know.
No, I think the last time I saw him was at your house.
Okay.
When you had your mustard party and I sat on the couch and Smudgy.
That was over a year ago.
I know.
A year and a half ago.
Yeah.
I think you've seen him since. Okay. I think you saw him at a pool party. But he was so chill you didn't even notice him.
Right. Well, I was too busy talking to that guy. I can't even remember what, but I was overwhelmed by that dude. About his music career or whatever it was. Andrew Dice Clay's manager. That's what it was.
Yes.
I was overwhelmed by that guy. No, I just remember being at your house at your mustard party, and Smudgy came up and sat on the couch next to me. It was like Jurassic Park. Like, Smudgy was right here and I was right here. I was like trying not to look too directly at him, because I was like, he's going to bite my face. Like, he was so, and he just was staring at me the whole time and like drooling, as you know. But that's great. That's great that he's doing well. Okay. So here's my checking in. And I also don't have a ton of things. I will say I've been watching this show Shrinking on Apple Television. Or some people call it Apple TV or Apple Idiot Box, Apple Boob Tube, whatever.
No one calls it that.
Guaranteed people call it that. I guess. No. I agree. No one calls it that. But it's a great show. Really, really enjoyable. But there is one, you know, it's all about people getting smaller and smaller. No, it's about psychiatrists. And so you do see some of the patients that these psychiatrists have. And there's one patient who is just so irritated at everything that happens in Starbucks.
And you're or like,
I don't know if they say Starbucks, but like everything that happens in the coffee shop.
Was this written about me?
And I'm like, and I was watching it and I was like, oh, I am a crazy person according to television. Like if I was a character on TV, I would just be the nutbag who is angry about nothing every time he goes to Starbucks. Which I understand, but I was still like, come on, I'm more than that. And I guess we're all the lead.
Talking about you.
I was mad at the show for being so
for not being
derisive of me. Well, yeah.
For not telling both sides of the story. I was
like, why is that guy not the lead? He should be the star of the show because he's making great points.
He should be the president.
Yeah. But it's just about him like being furious that they want to talk to him at Starbucks. That somebody, or keep saying Starbucks. I don't know if it's Starbucks. It might be Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. It might be Dalton's Coffee Shop.
A coffee shop.
Seattle's Best. Yeah, I don't know. It's whatever. But you know, he's like, I went into the shop and the guy behind the counter was like, how you doing? And I totally sympathized with him. I was like, I get it. I get where you're coming from, you know? And I don't know that that's something you should be feeling badly about. Mm. So that was one thing. And then, yeah, like I said, I don't have a lot. The other thing was I just in the last week or so had to re-up a particular medication that I am required to take at times, not all the time, just certain times I have to take this thing for some of the health issues I've had in the past. And here's the thing. It turns out I feel like the medical establishment in this country is kind of fucked up.
Okay, you're flying like, off the handle.
It doesn't make sense.
You're jumping to weird conclusions.
I'm being forced to look at things in a different way and say, I feel like there are some problems in the system. You know,
it isn't a perfect system, you don't think?
Because I called in the renewal of this prescription. Mm-hmm. It was down to zero, right? No renewals. But they said the pharmacy robot said, we will call for your renewal of your prescription. and I said, yes, please do that. And then I waited like 5 days and I went to the pharmacy and they were like, oh yeah, we called it in. And they never called us back. So I'm like, and at this point I'm almost out of the stuff I need. And I need it like, because whatever, it's a long story. Who cares?
It's important that you have it.
Yeah. I need to have it. And so the pharmacy was like, yeah, get in touch with them. This was on a Sunday. They were like, get in touch with them and try to get it tomorrow. And I did, like, I needed it right away, you know. And so I sent an email to the people that I need to get this stuff from. And I wake up this morning and I have a return email from them saying, no, you sent it to the wrong person. We forwarded it to the right person at this other place, which was not correct because they were not the prescribers. And then I look and there's an appointment for me. Like there's a doctor's appointment this morning at 11 o'clock, way down past USC downtown. So I'll be honest, I do not wake up that early. So the appointment's at 11 o'clock. It's now like 10 o'clock and I'm just finding out that I have this appointment. So I'm kind of losing my shit, like very frustrated that this has turned into such a thing and that I'm going to have to go get this stuff at this place, which will shoot my day in the foot and make sure
100%.
I can do nothing else for until 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, you know? So that's when it hit me that, you know,
there might be some problems.
There's the insurance companies and the medical establishment. It just seems like there's a better way to go.
There's gotta be a better way. Did you go to the appointment?
No. Here's the other thing. Okay. Is that there was no number on the email.
There never is.
I was like, I could call them and say, this is ridiculous. I don't need to come in today because all you have to do is renew this prescription. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm. And you're not like, I'm not trying to abuse the
right prescription. Well, it is for heroin. That's the thing.
Sure.
Prescription heroin, but none, you know, but yeah, I'm not like getting over on the system or whatever. And I was like, oh, God damn it. Of course, there's no number in the email. They're trying, like, why are they shrouded in mystery? Why do they make it difficult to get in touch with them? And of course, like 2 minutes later, my phone rings and it's the place I'm supposed to go for this appointment. And they leave a message. I didn't answer the phone in time to hear what they were saying. But they go, we renewed your prescription. Just go to the pharmacy. You don't have to come in.
Perfect.
So it worked out fine, ultimately.
Thank goodness you weren't, like, on the road already or I don't know.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, what if I had woken up at 8 o'clock in the morning and I was like, I'm going to go. I'm going to get a coffee and I'm going to just show up and whatever. And I say a coffee because I would have gone into Starbucks and been like,
yeah,
please don't ask me how my day is going because you do not wish to know, but I will say the medical and just, so it worked out fine, but it just felt like, why are we going through all these hoops to just get this one thing renewed? And why is it so difficult to get in touch with the right people? And of course, every time you send an email or get a, you know, make a phone call to them or whatever, it always says, like, if this is a medical emergency, hang up and dial 911 It was kind of an emergency, right, but what if I called 911 and I was like, hi, I'm having a big problem. I need a renewal of this prescription.
I bet people do.
You're right. I'm sure people do. Because that's the other thing is that everybody goes to the emergency room for the slightest thing if they don't have good medical coverage, you know? And I feel like ultimately that stuff is costing the taxpayers a lot of money.
Well, and if you are having an emergency, you have to wait a really long time. Mm-hmm. Like the emergency part of it is a little undercut.
Right. So then I go to the pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being at Starbucks, like, because, you know, they always ask you your name and your birth date, and that's how they find your records at the pharmacy. And so I'm spelling my name, which, as you know, is Conroy. Or the lady behind the counter says, what's your name? And I said, Conroy. And she was like, okay, K-A-M. And I'm like, no, hold on. I don't know how you got that from what I said. But that is incorrect.
Not a correct choice in the bunch.
So then I said, Conroy, C-O-N-R-O. And she's like, okay. And she puts it in and she's like, looking, can't find it.
It's not here.
And she's like, can you spell your name again? And I said, C-O. And she's like, yeah, I know, C-O-M. I said, no, C-O-N-N. She's like, oh, that's it. There it is, you know? So I know it's absurd and I am diagnosably difficult and need psychiatric care for this stuff, but it is like the constant resistance to having things function effectively that makes me so upset on a regular basis. So if somebody could just fix that, that would be great.
Everything.
I mean, that would be nice, but even just starting with one thing would be enough. Mm. You know, fix one thing and then we'll figure it out from there. All right. Well, that's my checking in. Amber did her checking in. So it's time for a segment on the show that we like to call Parting Shots. Let's start today with Amber.
Okay. I have the, also I could.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's spotlight. Really. That's like when I was in high school and we had, so my sophomore year of high school, we had a insane teacher to start in geometry class. Like, I don't know what this guy's deal was, but he he like named a bunch of postulates in geometry after himself, and everybody was freaked out by him. So, and there was only two geometry teachers for my entire class. So immediately out of, say, 200 students, so 100 of them are in his classes, immediately like 94 of them transferred into the other teachers' classes. And I was not fast enough. So by the time I went to transfer into the other class, I couldn't. I had to stay in his class. But he ultimately was let go halfway through the first quarter of the year. And they brought in another, like a veteran math teacher. But that guy couldn't stay because he had other classes. So they brought in a brand new teacher, Mrs. Henry. And we were sophomores in high school. And we did everything we could to make torture. Her life
yeah.
miserable for the entire year. And so it was all kinds of stuff. Like we would plan before class at 1 o'clock, every single person is going to tear a sheet of newspaper or a sheet of notebook paper out of their notebook, crumple it up and go up one by one and throw it in the garbage. So that was the plan ahead of time. So we would get there and then it'd be 1 o'clock and like one after another, after another, after another person. And she just didn't know what to do. You know, she was brand new to teaching. But one of the things we would do is that thing where you take your watch and you sign it on the board. As she's writing on the board, there'd be like a light flickering around her head, like the light that's behind your head right now. And again, she had no idea what to do. And I'm sure she was a lovely person, but it was very fun to, or we'd go like, okay. And it was, I don't know why I'm saying 1 o'clock, because it was always different times. But it would be like at 1 o'clock, everybody is going to bend down and tie their shoe. So
it's just such a surreal prank. Like it's very strange.
Yeah.
Because you also, it's the beauty in it is like, she can't.
Don't tie your shoe. Stop right, tying like, your shoe.
There's nothing that you did wrong.
Right.
But it's just.
But like, synchronizing mind, it makes it crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what that light behind you reminded me of. But anyway, go on.
I have a non-recommendation. Mm-hmm. There's like a nice ice cream shop by my house. And I was craving ice cream yesterday. So I figured let's get some. And then one of the new popular items, it kept saying how popular it was and how much people like it, was an ice cream flavor called malted milkshake and French fries. And it was supposed to recreate the feeling of dipping your French fries in a milkshake, but it's an ice cream. And I said, okay, I'll try it. It's not good.
Too many potatoes.
Well, it's like potato ice cream. Like it's insane.
That does not sound good. I'm a huge fan of French fries, but.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing that we like about French fries, or I don't want to speak for you, but I'm going to go on a limb and guess. Warm, crunchy, crispity, salty. Like, I guess the salt was there.
I'm going to have to say I disagree. You finally got me to disagree. I like mine cold, soggy, and
then you might flavorless. Love this ice cream. Because it was like, it did taste like French fries, but it tasted like when you didn't eat your French fries fast enough and they went cold. Right. Like that. It's.
I love those.
Okay. Then get this ice cream. I'll buy you some.
I would like to try it. I would like to try it. Also, here's a question for you. If I said to you, what kind of ice cream are you eating?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just assume it doesn't have to be that particular experience, but if you're eating ice cream, imagine yourself, you're eating ice cream right now. It's your favorite or it's your second favorite, whatever it is. And I say, what kind of ice cream are you eating? What would your answer be?
Mint chocolate chip.
Okay. See, that would be mine too. Not necessarily mint chocolate chip, but I would say like
flavor.
Rocky Road or, you know.
And some people answer Chunky Monkey. Like brand or
what? Salt and Straw, Ben and Jerry's. Yeah. Like, and I'm like, well, that's not giving me any information about, you know.
Except for how much money you're willing to spend, am I right?
I don't know. Is it? Is there a difference in those in terms of like expense?
Yeah, they're all expensive. Like right. Salt and Straw is expensive. Van Leeuwen is where I got this French fry milkshake.
And that's but expensive?
It's not, I don't know, maybe everything's expensive, but it's not cheap.
Well, I think there's a big difference between not cheap and expensive.
Agree. But I think that is it expensive? Expensive is so subjective.
Right. It depends on what your income is. It depends on the GDP of the country you're in.
Well, it just depends on what you're
depends willing. On what the currency exchange is and what you're using at the time.
Well, like my old boss when I worked at the bank, he just had such like he was just in a different tax bracket. But it's the easiest way to say that. And he would be like, buy a nice bottle of wine. That would be like one of my tasks. And I would lose my mind because I was like, I don't know what that means.
Right.
Like, you need to give me a price range. Like, because to me, like this at the time, you know, like a 17 bottle of wine is a nice bottle of wine, but it might be absolute garbage to you. But I also don't want to spend $300 and be wrong. Like,
I got you the Trader Joe's Cabernet Sauvignon, $2. Yeah, it's true. Like if you, depending on how much you make, it could be cheap or expensive. And I don't, you know, I hope at some point to be making more than I am right now, but I hope I don't lose the perspective of what's expensive, you know, that I'm grateful that I'm able to buy Baskin and Robbins instead of like, oh, of course this is nothing. You know,
did they split
Baskin and Robbins? Yeah. I'm Baskin, I'm Robbins. See you later. No, you're saying that Baskin Robbins was one person.
Well, the name is Baskin Robbins, there's no and.
Hi, my name is Bob Baskin Robbins. I kept my mother's maiden name and my father's last name.
But it's confusing because Ben and Jerry Saldenstraw.
Right.
Usually it's Robbins. A duo. It's a famous duo that makes
ice cream. Right. Yeah. I guess that's my mistake. I think of it as.
Oh my God. I don't like this. Like, who are you?
No, you're right. You're right. I shouldn't say Baskin and Robbins.
I am so sorry. I am so sorry.
I don't know. I fucked up. What can I say?
I don't know what came over me.
I fucked
up. Please forgive me.
Anything else on your parting shots?
I finally got my new computer at work, so I'm like fully functioning, which is exciting.
An Apple TV.
An Apple boob tube.
An Apple idiot box. So does it make a big difference now that you're able to do a bunch of stuff?
Yeah, I was just explaining this to a coworker. I think that stepping into a new role, at least for me, like there's always like a certain level of imposter syndrome that kicks in. Mm-hmm. And then also having no way of doing most of your tasks or having any of the software to do your tasks sort of magnifies the useless feeling. So I'm excited to like be a fully functioning person a month into this job.
Yeah. I mean, you have to lay down the law when you're new to the job, you know, it's like when you go to prison and you just walk up to the biggest guy and punch him in the face.
We all belong in prison. We established that.
Right. No, I agree. And the thing to remember is that first day, you got to go up to the biggest guy and punch him in the face because otherwise they're going to take advantage of you. And
biggest guy is going to get punched by so many people if everyone goes to prison.
Well, that's why that's why a lot of big people don't do crimes because they don't want to end up but getting punched in the face in prison.
Yeah,
it's actually a good system because you know if big
it's just if little guys in there.
If large people were allowed to run rampant, they would really dominate society. You know, But knowing that they're going to get punched in the face a lot,
yeah,
keeps them out of prison. It's keeps them from.
It's humbling.
Yeah, keeps them from going on crime sprees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's my parting shot. It's very simple, and I mentioned that I was going to start doing an improv show, thanks to somebody who was listening to this podcast and heard me disagreeing with some decisions that had been made in various aspects of the improv world. So we're going to start doing this improv show. The first show is April 29th.
Whoa!
7:30 p.m. I think that I will try to have it streamed so people can watch it online. The name of the show is Mixtape. That's the improvisational comedy name of the show. And I have some really great performers who are going to be there. And I think it's going to be really fun.
So, where is it? Did you say that yet?
No, I didn't say that. It's at the Lyric Hyperion
Theater. Nice.
Where you just did your Liquid mm-hmm. Feet show. So yeah, that's the theater we will be at. And doing a sort of what I would call an ASCAT style show, you know. The improv world is,
but nothing copyrighted.
No. It's not called. It's called Mixtape. It's not called ASCAT. You know, but we'll have, you know, for people who know that format, we will have a monologist who tells stories, and then we'll do scenes based on those stories. This is the intro for ASCAT that I used to give every week when I used to do that show every week, which I don't do anymore. And now I'm able to do this other show thanks to not doing that show all the time. So look for that and come if you're in Los Angeles. And if you're not in Los Angeles, don't be there.
Stream it, baby. Yeah.
Stream it. And I'll promote that again, because once I figure out how the streaming is going to work, I can let people know.
You could make it a link on the YouTube or something.
Yes, I could put it up on our YouTube channel, Sean Conroy Gets Happier.
For your improv show Mixtape.
That's the Long Shot Podcast's YouTube channel. And by the way, speaking of our YouTube channel, if you are a YouTube person watching this on YouTube, please YouTube it and then mash that like and subscribe, as they say in Georgia and Alabama. And you know, feel free to leave us a comment. What would your pitch for a t-shirt be after today's episode?
Yeah.
I would say something like
worst episode
coffee
ever.
Table. Please don't listen. Please do not listen. The Long Shot Podcast. I feel like that would actually be an interesting marketing tactic. You know? Why should I not listen? I'm going to listen.
You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah. All right, folks. This has been The Long Shot. I'm Sean Conroy. This is Amber Kenny.
Hello.
We will see you next time. Oh, I better get the button ready before. Okay, there it is. We will see you next time on The Long Shot Podcast. Thanks for
listening.
Bye.
This turn of phrase happened to take a turn for the worse. just late this time in getting home. I stole the rhyme, but not the dollar sign. I've just resigned myself to living alone.